So back in the day, Bungie had a slogan that really resonated with me. It was, "We build the games we want to play." To me, that's the most important piece of being successful. Do what you love. Find what's important to you. Do it. Get better at it. People will find you.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 72, with curator and founder of Halo.Bungie.org, Claude Herrera.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hello, world. JC Preston here. Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast. So glad that you could join me today. I am part of the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people find their own personal freedom. And in this podcast, released each Thursday, we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. This session is brought to you by the crew over at Fizzle.co. Now, first month of 2017 is almost done, guys. I got a few things that are starting to take shape this year, and I'm starting to help some folks as a content coach and producer, and really beginning to build some really good cross-promotional relationships. But how about you? How's your new year going? I mean, is 2017 going to be any different for you than 2016? Is this next year going to be any better? You know, and if you want to make a change, but you aren't quite sure how to make the jump to beginning your own business or, you know, doing your own passion project, there's a lot of programs that are out there that can help, but none, as far as I've come across, are as cost effective as Fizzle. You know, and for less than $40 a month, you can get access to the roadmap, which is basically, here's where you start. You start at figuring out what your topic is going to be. And then they take you all the way through building your website and, you know, creating podcasts, which is one of my favorite courses on there. And then you have, you know, how to do videos and, you know, how to book yourself solid, all these kinds of different courses. They got a forum that's on there that is, you know, people that will not let you quit. You get started, you're not going to quit. And then they got weekly coaching. And the weekly coaching is, you know, something that many places would, you know, have you pay $1,000 easy for all those different things, especially for the experience that Corbett, Chase, and Steph have. Along with their video training, they also have videos of founder stories that I'm sure many of you probably have heard of. Pat Flynn, John Lee Dumas, Jordan Harbinger. Lots of good stories there and, you know, tidbits that you won't be able to find anything else. So if you're starting your second life in 2017 and had to make a game reference there, then give Fizzle a shot. And you can do that by going over to newinceptions.com/fizzle and get your free 5-week trial membership. And then you'll get to see what I've been talking about. So your future self will definitely thank you. So now in today's interview, I get the chance to speak with one of my longtime favorite creatives, Claude Herrera. And back when I was in college, Claude, known to fans of the video game production company Bungie and their Halo games as Louis Wu or Louis Wu, he was the facilitator of an awesome website called Halo.Bungie.org and also known as HBO. And since I was a Halo junkie back then, I looked at him as almost having celebrity status, and I think many people do. And he had so much influence in this community; it was simply amazing. And I always, you know, I always wondered how he had built something that was as successful as it was. And as he says in the interview, during its heyday, you know, there were times where the site would have 600,000 visitors a day. And so in this conversation, I get the chance to finally catch up with him, and we discuss where HBO and his alias came from, what he actually does as a day job, some of the success he's seen as the father of HBO, and some things he's recommends to those who want to make something that they care about. Show notes are available at newinceptions.com/72, and I'll be on after the show to fill you on and anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. JC here with today's guest, Claude Herrera, and I'm pretty stoked to have Claude on today as he's probably one of the bigger creators I've known of since 2002, 2003. And, you know, back in 2001, a video game was released, which you all might have heard of. His name is Halo. And back in those days, websites weren't everything they are today, and they certainly wasn't any social media to post videos and images like there is now. So, you know, most of this stuff back then was shared in forums. Claude was the founder of one of the largest forums for Halo, halo.bungie.org, or HBO for short. And this forum has been around since 1999, when Halo was originally planned to come out for Mac and PC. Anyway, ever since then, he's been the man behind the scenes. And in fact, the place is still there and amazingly still has daily posts from members of the community. But to me, what's really interesting is that through all these years, he's been able to keep the forum free of charge, no advertising. It's for pure fans. And it's kind of like Reddit for Halo before there was ever a Reddit. So, Claude, welcome to the show today, man. And how you doing?
Thanks. I'm doing well, actually. I'm enjoying the holiday season.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple. What is it? Today is the 30th. So just another day before big New Year's. Got anything going on for that?
Got nothing going on for that.
That's either a good thing or a bad thing. For me, it's a good thing because I've been doing things, yeah, crazy the last couple of years. How about yourself?
Yeah, it's been, I don't know if crazy is the right word. We've had a couple of big parties, and big parties are good and no party is good. And, you know, whatever works, right? So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Who knows? This is the first year in several that I won't be going to Pittsburgh. And I think I've been going to Pittsburgh for the last 3 years to celebrate New Year's with my wife's family. So that's been, it's been interesting. I've got to know that city a little bit more. Coming from Indianapolis, if you know anything about the NFL, well, let's just say that we're not too big fans of the Steelers around these parts. So anyway.
Fair enough.
But, yeah, I mean, it definitely sounds like you're still a busy guy. You, before the show, we were talking about how you're doing some housework and, kind of
the remodel that will never, ever end. So.
Yeah. Didn't you have like a flood at one point or something?
That was one house, but yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you've moved around a bit. Okay. Well, good to get rid of, you know, clear the bad energy, I suppose, from time to time.
Yeah, we moved 3,000 miles away. That was how bad the energy. No, it was great energy. We loved that house, but we decided we liked the West Coast more. So,
that was Seattle. you were in Connecticut though, correct?
We're in Connecticut, yeah, for almost 20 years.
Wow, and you're where now?
We are in Seattle.
Okay. Well, has it been big? Kind of a big adjustment, or pretty natural, or
no? It was a pretty big adjustment. We moved from basically living in the woods in a relatively rural community to, you know, a 3-block walk from a 24-hour grocery store. So, yeah.
Good deal. It's nice to be able to just actually get out and walk. The current place that I'm on, you have to, let's just say, drive to pretty much anywhere to get anything. I mean, the nearest corner store is about a half a mile away.
Yeah, well, that was in Connecticut. We were, you know, a 20-minute drive from the grocery store, and that was the closest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I'll tell you, especially for me coming from a small town that, you know, everything was within 5 minutes. So, yeah, I get you. So, kind of going back to HBO, or as we said, halo.bungie.org, pretty old school place. Perhaps our listeners have visited the site in some time in their gaming journey and don't really quite realize who you are. I mean, can you share your alias and why you chose the one you did?
Well, on the site, I go as Louis Wu. In 1999, when Blam was leaked, it wasn't even announced, it was leaked during E3, you could see the word Blam on a screen at a private showing that was accidentally released to the internet. All we knew about the game was that it was based on a Ringworld. We didn't know anything about gameplay, about what kind of game it was, but it was based on a Ringworld. So the co-founder and I, who had been using our normal, our actual real names on the internet up until that point, he had reasons for not wanting to be known, and so we decided to pick aliases, and so we picked them from the Ringworld novel by Larry Niven. Wei Wu is the protagonist. He's a 200-year-old Asian guy who goes on adventures over the course of several books. And my cohort chose Wirehead, which was the which was what Louis Wu became when he got addicted to Current. In the book, he spent a little while with an electric wire embedded directly into his pleasure center in his brain, and you know, it's sort of the ultimate addiction.
right. So yeah, I kind of remember when that happened myself, when it kind of got spilled to the internet, because at the time I was a big Myth player. And so I've been, you know, involved with Bungie myself, or known of them since, 97? And then I have some friends even that predate me that were big Marathon players.
Yep.
And so they've come a long way from their years here in Chicago, and then moved over there, not here in Chicago. I'm an indie, but near enough, closer than you are.
Midwest.
Midwest. And then, you know, getting bought out by Microsoft, and then being sold out by Microsoft, and they're doing their own thing, but Microsoft kept Halo, and it's just a really interesting story about, you know, IP rights and all that sort of stuff, but we're not going to even go there today. if I remember right, you're not a super hardcore gamer, and you know, many people put in more time on games than you and I both probably combined. Can you recall why you actually wanted to kick off HBO then? Why you wanted to become the hub?
Well, so I've been running websites for Bungie Games since 1995. I was a big Marathon fan. I really enjoyed the game, and I really enjoyed the idea of sort of bringing people together who enjoyed the game. And so I started a website called the Marathon Hyper Archive Northwest back in March of 95, and it became a pretty big repository of files created by the community, and it was sort of a way to trade, you know, maps and shapefiles and, you know, any sort of mods that were available for the game. I went on an extended trip in 97 and 98. I actually missed Myth completely. We left in late 96 and came back in late 98, and so Myth, the original Myth had come and gone, and Myth 2 was just being released. So I came back, and I sort of, you know, I'd been removed from the community long enough to sort of feel like I didn't need to be a part of it. And then in the fall of 98, marathon.org, which was the big marathon conglomeration site, it housed a whole lot of different sites that people had created over the years, went down. The guy who ran it ran out of money and just took it offline. And a few hardcore fans got together and said, you know, we can't let this completely disappear. We have to find a way to recreate it. And we decided at that point that Bungie had enough games either out or in the making that it was worth creating a bungee.org instead of another marathon.org. You know, now there was Myth, there was already Pathways into Darkness, which had, you know, its own sort of following. Oni was on the horizon. We knew that Blam was coming. We didn't know what it was called or what it was about at that point, but we knew it was coming. We knew that there were people in the Chicago office that were working on something new. And so we created Bungie.org, and it just grew from there.
But yeah, I mean, forums at the time were pretty popular back then. Instant Messenger, ICQ just recently said 20 years they've been around. Holy crap.
The whole ship.
Yeah. I mean, instant AIM and all that. Napster was big back then. Yeah. I mean, kind of dates you a little bit. But anyway, so what made you actually structure HBO the way you did?
So at the time, I was just starting up my own web business. I had come back from this long trip, and I sort of needed to find a way to make some money. And I had gotten started on the web, you know, back when the web was fresh, was brand new. So I thought, well, you know, I can do this. But I didn't really have any skills for, you know, 2 years is a long time in internet days.
Right. Oh, yeah. And still today.
So I needed to learn sort of what the newest things were and how to build them. And I figured, well, if I start with a fan site, I can sort of build pieces. I can learn how to do things, and then I can translate that into things I can sell to other people. So that was the idea of sort of, you know, so I built HBO as a sort of whenever anybody needed something, I was willing to figure out a way to create a box for it, pretty much.
Okay.
So started with an off the shelf BBS, you know, a forum, you know,
right.
BBS
right.
was pretty good in those days, and I liked it better than the up and coming stuff that was all flat style. Mm-hmm. It lends itself better to actual conversation than something where everybody's posting in the same stream.
Yeah. Well, and even today, I mean, some of the sites that I have my fingers in, it's like, well, do we go with a forum, which is really good at categorizing things, or do we make the community on Facebook, which is, you know, as you said, a stream, and it's like, how do you can't organize that, you know?
Not even. So we decided to go with that sort of a threaded forum, and and the front page was for upcoming news, and then there was, anytime somebody came up with some new kind of content that we didn't have a place to house, I'd build something for it. And eventually, you know, those pieces got turned into things that I was able to sell to actual paying clients.
Wow.
<was nice>.
So HBO then, what you're saying is just basically it was your sandbox, and you just get to try things out.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Wow.
And nobody complained because they weren't paying for it.
Right. I that's cool that you were able to not only you know try that stuff out, but not again scare anybody away,
right?
Because of all the massive changes, probably,
right?
Building it from scratch, and the fact that you were during the day. I mean, let's kind of take a step back. What would you call yourself? Were you more of like a web engineer back then, and more of a what would you call yourself today?
Well, today I do mostly back-end stuff. I build, you know, interfaces to databases and such. And when a new site is going online, I generally find a designer to build the actual site, and then I build the back-end for it.
Gotcha.
Because I used to do the front-end, and I'm okay at it, but I'm not great. And certainly the web has advanced to a point where artistic skills are more important than technical skill. In the old days, if you could sort of fake the artistic part of it, you could make a really good website as long as you were good on the technical part. And these days, you can't fake the artistic part anymore. There's too much good stuff out there. So I find somebody who's good at the artistic part, and I make the back end work. But so in the old days, I did both, and I called myself a web developer. And today, I call myself, well, I still call myself a web developer, but I'm not a
designer.
I am not a designer. Nope.
Gotcha. Well, and you know, I think that kind of like, you know, one of the things that people call me, even just, you know, before when I got out of doing startups, out of that world, I was always known as an IT person. And now I just kind of scoff at that. It's like, okay, what does that even mean? Because there's so many different kinds of IT. I mean, just breaking that down, you could put web into that. You could put, you know, hardware into that. You could, and for one person to know all those different things is just, it's ridiculous. So, oh yeah. Yeah. People, oh yeah, he's good at technology. Right.
Yeah.
It's
not quite as simple as it used to be.
Exactly.
Which is good and bad. You know, I don't miss the days when I was the go-to person when somebody in my family who wasn't technical had a question. I don't miss those days at all. But on the other hand, it was sort of nice to be able to understand every piece of the puzzle. These days, you know, I have a general understanding of where things stand, and I'm good at what I do, but I couldn't take over for somebody who does another piece.
Right. Yeah. Someone like, you know, being able to look at, like, for example, just say like Facebook and then all the little pieces that are on there. You probably almost look at it like it's like Matrix code.
Right.
You know,
have you looked recently at the, have you done a view source on google.com recently?
Mm-mm, no,
it's an eye opener.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that really blows me away is just, and not to get too technical here, but you know, I just don't want to, you know, focus on this, but if someone goes, there's a thing called the Wayback Machine, yeah. Internet Archives.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this is one of the things I tell people all to do that are, you know, that I'm coaching is, you know, if you're starting a business online, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be, you know, somewhat palatable so people don't like click away from it right away, as you were saying, but it doesn't have to be perfect. And case in point, you go on the Internet Archive Machine, type in your favorite. You know, maybe you want to look up an influencer, or maybe you want to look up some sort of other website and look at what it was a handful of years ago compared to what it is now.
Right.
Right. I mean, Facebook. Oh my gosh. when it first started, I mean, it was, I don't know, like maybe a 13-year-old or a 14-year-old in junior high versus, you know, someone in their later teens could probably easily almost right out of the box create what Facebook used to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it just kind of blows my mind, and how people be like, oh, I could never do what they're doing. And no, you just need to know how to line up the parts. Really.
Start with what you can do and build it up. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the things that before, speaking of Facebook, at one point before Facebook and other social media sites really took off, you obviously had a ton to manage there. You had your daytime business, and then you had everything that was going on with HBO. And I know that you being the main moderator, because I'd always see your name in so many of the threads,
yeah,
that, you know, you were the glue behind the community. But how would you say that HBO got so darn successful in the first place?
That's 98% of it was showing up. Really, like what you just described is exactly why it was successful. It came about in a time when, you know, lots of people were interested in creating sites for the web. There was this, you know, there was buzz about you could make a ton of money, whatever. We weren't looking to make money. And, you know, the team that started HBO sort of fell away, and eventually it was just me for a while. And there's always been other people involved, but there have been stretches where the day-to-day stuff fell to me continuously. And the reason it was successful was because I showed up every day. It didn't have to be great. It just had to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I don't know if that's true anymore. That was a pretty, you know, it was a transitional time in terms of internet development. So I don't know that you could follow the path that HBO took and be as successful as it was 10 years ago, which, by the way, it's not anymore, as anybody who looks at it can tell. It's still there, and there are still people who love it, and there are still, you know, Bungie employees who visit or at least read on a regular basis because it has a history. Mm-hmm. It was an honest to goodness success in the early 2000s, in the, you know, 2004 to 2007. You know, we were seeing at the peak, I don't know, 600,000 hits a day, something like that, which was a non-trivial amount of traffic. It basically comes down to showing up. That's, you do what you do and you keep doing it, whether people pay attention or not. And over time, they will pay attention because you keep doing it.
Huh. Well, that's definitely good advice. Was there ever a point where you thought you'd ever, you know, pass it over to someone else or figure out a way to have it pay for itself?
So paying for itself, that's a different question. That's a harder issue. So when Bungie.org started in the very beginning, the first, you know, half dozen of us that sat down and said, we need to build this site. That was the big thing that everybody said was, we hate online advertising. We hate pop-up ads. We hate things that get in the way of content. We're building this site so that content can get from the creators to the fans without having to go through an advertising filter. And because that was such an important piece back in the day, I have really, really struggled not to allow advertising to happen. And, you know, several times that's cost me a lot of money.
I can imagine.
But the way I've said this before, and I think it's true, and why I can repeat it, the day I'm doing this for a paycheck is the day that I stop doing it. So I can tell myself that I'm tired of it or whatever, but if I still show up every day and read posts and post news, which on HBO I'm not doing right now. I've got somebody who's very very diligent about that, and I'm really happy. Shout out to MacGyver here. But I still do that on destiny.bungie.org. And as long as I'm showing up and doing the work every day and I'm not getting paid for it, I know in my own heart that I'm doing it because I love it. The day that there's a paycheck involved, I can't tell, am I continuing to do it because I love it or because I don't want to lose the paycheck? And so by not getting a paycheck, I don't have to worry about that.
Right. Well, and, you know, in that situation, I would, you know, for me, I would have, like, because I I have a natural craft, you know, feeling myself, like, when, especially when I'm doing these shows. And, you know, I've been more inspired ever since I knew it was a thing to possibly get a Patreon account. And I know some other folks that are out there that are doing life-changing work. Cam Adair comes to mind. He's one of my, he started a group called Game Quitters, and he has a Patreon account. And, you know, the thing with him and I is that we, you know, we want to focus in, you know, helping people out. And in the same way, you're a lot like that. So, you know, maybe that might be something to consider for a project down the line or something. But yeah, I'm totally with you.
I'm not against making money. I have a job and I get paid for it. Just saying that this particular endeavor has been from the beginning a labor of love, and I'm afraid at this point that if I ever tried to monetize it, I would lose track of why I was doing it.
And it wouldn't be the same, is what you're saying.
Wouldn't be the same.
All right.
And again, that's just me. That's not anybody else at this point. But it's why it's never been monetized.
Right. There have been a few game inspired companies that have moved from just doing art, you know, craft, for the heck of it, to actually making it a successful business. One that comes to mind is Rooster Teeth.
There you go.
What has been your relation with them as you were the big hub and then shared, you know, when new RVB posts came, you know, every week, RVB meaning to people who don't know, Red versus Blue. I mean, what's been your relation with them over the years?
Well, it's been good. So in the very early days, I was their content host. So they had a website, but it didn't have the bandwidth to handle their actual video releases. So when they went from Drunk Gamers, which was basically a website started by Bernie and Gus in order to get free games, to making Red versus Blue, they had, you know, they had built a website, but they hadn't actually figured out what they were going to do with content. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll be happy to host it for you. And that lasted for, you know, two or three episodes, and then they became super popular super fast and found other ways to host the content, because it was it very quickly became more than I could handle. But I still, you know, I'm still a member of that community. I still pay attention to them. RVB is a tiny piece of their pie.
Oh, it has, yeah, it's insane. Right. That's one of the things for me is, you know, when I see, and maybe I can get your kind of feedback on this, but, you know, I've been like you, you know, I forget exactly what my ID is, but I was early on in the RT site, I guess you could call it. You know, the thing is that I was brought in early myself, and because I was of the Mythic community, and you know, the thing is that, like, I, as a creator, it's like, how does someone spend all the time to keep track of all that stuff? You know, there's probably, and I'm guessing there has to be fans out there of, like, Rooster Teeth that are, like, know every show, and they're followed every, you know, series, and it's like,
there's a wiki for the show, so the scripts are up, the sort of discussions of every little tidbit is up. It's almost anything that big becomes its own focus for a fan community at some point. And there are people who like that more than anything else and are willing to spend all of their time and energy focusing on that one thing. And so, you know, Red versus Blue has that, right? There are people who are just, you know, I really enjoy it, and I watch it when the episodes come out. But if you ask me, you know, like, what special characters were created in episode 12 or season 12 that happened, that weren't around before, like, I wouldn't know.
Right? Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's
right.
The show I watch at this point.
Well, and the crew has just gotten so big that I can't keep track of all the crew either, and it's just like, you know, I see the posts about people that have come and gone, and I'm like, yeah, I have no idea who that person was.
Right. Well, Rooster Teeth is now hundreds of people, you know.
Right.
They got bought by Full Screen, and they're a full-fledged internet content creator. And like I said, Red versus Blue is not only a small piece of the puzzle, but, you know, in the next couple of seasons, it's done. Right? They're running out of storylines. They're running out of whatever, and they're going to move on to other stuff.
Wow. So. That maybe then I'll actually catch up on.
You can back and binge.
Yeah, right. Just like one of those things. I do know one, but he's probably been around for years too. His guy's name is Gavin.
Yeah.
You know, I think that I've picked out his name as being one that's pretty cool. And yeah, it's just really interesting to me how, you know, you can have the different set tracks that you went down versus the way that they've gone down and had, you know, the different kinds of successes. So,
right.
Anyway, are there any other kinds of are there any other successes out there that you'd want to mention that, you know, spring from HBO?
Well, I mean, there's tons of people that maybe got their first exposure on a Bungie.org site, and then became successful elsewhere, and maybe some of that is related to. So, all right, I can't take credit for his skill, but Craig Mullins was an artist in the mid 90s who really enjoyed playing Marathon and created some fantastic artwork for the first game, just fan art, which mm-hmm. got a little bit of exposure on the Marathon site that I ran in those days. And because of that exposure, he was actually introduced to members of, or employees of Bungie, mm-hmm. and ended up creating the chapter screens for Marathon 2, and then I think also Infinity, and continued for years to do on and off work for Bungie in the Halo universe. Mm-hmm. I think most recently he did the cover of the DK Encyclopedia. That was 5 years ago or something. So he is a like totally in demand artist who does concept work for movies and has way better things to do with his time than screw around with gaming companies.
Right, right.
But he got his start through gaming companies. He really like became sort of, I don't know if famous is the right word. His connection to Bungie helped a lot in his current career, and my exposure of his work probably helped somewhat in his connection to Bungie. So I can look at people like that and say, you know, that's a huge, that's something that might not have happened if it hadn't been for me. But then again, you know, he's really, really good, and it would have happened anyway.
Right, right. Well, even so, I mean, you were the one that was there, and like I said, I mean, you're kind of the dad that, you know, has overseen all the growth of all these, right. of these individuals, so it's pretty
cool. Yeah, every once in a while I get emails from people who say, you know, because of the HBO community, I tried to get a job in the gaming community, and now I'm working on X or Y or Z, you know, and so thank you. So,
yeah.
So that part's really cool. I'm really proud of stuff like that.
Cool. Cool. Speaking of online community, let's say that there's someone out there that wants to start an online community, you know, from something that they're passionate about. I mean, whether it's a new game or a business that's starting online, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some commonalities between each thing. What are some steps that you'd take to duplicate the success of what you had with HBO?
Wow. Again, the world is a much different place than it was when HBO started. And the steps that I took in those days would not work today. That said, the things that are important, as far as I can tell, are have a reason for people to come. You know, set the site up. Doesn't matter if it doesn't have an audience at the beginning. Set the site up. Get it going with actual content. You know, not, hey, we're going to be the greatest site in the world. We're going to have all this stuff. Have some of that stuff. Do it. Mm-hmm. Do it for yourself first. Once you've got a little bit going, put it online and advertise the hell out of it. You know, talk to your friends, post it on Facebook, post it on other social media, sort of continue to get the word out that you've got this community going, and tell people, you know, sort of why you started it, right? Like what it was that you were trying to do when you built this in the first place. And if it's something of interest to people, they will find it and they will become part of it. If you say, I want to be the social hub for Game X,
but you don't do anything about it besides say that, you're not going to be the social hub for GameX. I guess that's the advice. Do it first.
Do it first. Do it for yourself, and then pay attention maybe to the, you know, the first couple of fans so they can help you get the word.
Absolutely.
Out.
Yeah. And probably, you know, sort of let the first couple of fans influence how you're putting things together, right? You know, the people who show up first, those are the ones that really love the same thing you love. And listening to them and how they want to experience whatever it is that you're doing will help a long way in getting other people who might be, you know, interested but not as interested, right? So the wider the base you can reach after the beginning, the very start is you, right? The very beginning is you and your perspective. And that's going to get the people who are just like you, but you're not going to do a very good job of grabbing people who are a little bit off of that perspective. The more you can sort of widen your scope without losing track of what you're doing, of course, the better your chances of sucking in people who wouldn't have been interested in the very narrow focus that you started with.
Right. Oh. Right. And Rooster Teeth is a great example of that.
Perfect example of that. Because,
geez, again, wow. What, since you're your own boss, what tactics do you employ to stay out of getting in too deep and becoming a complete fan of something?
When things get really, when I go through cycles, there are times when I'm extremely productive work-wise, and there are times when I'm spending far too much time doing things that don't make me money and don't really advance anything. And when that starts to happen, I set limits for myself. And, you know, there's chunks of time during the day when I don't allow myself to do anything that's not work. There are chunks of time when I don't allow myself to work, right? So that's the other danger is you try to catch up when you get way behind. You try to catch up and you work harder and harder and harder and longer and longer. And you become much less effective over time. And you'll do less in an 18-hour day than you would in, you know, 3 6-hour days.
Oh, yeah.
So
been there,
definitely
done that.
Try to sort of force myself to break up the monotony. There's upper limits on things that are not work. There's absolute limits on things that are work. So basically I have to acknowledge that I'm wasting time doing things that aren't useful to me. And that's, so when I say things that aren't useful to me, I don't mean specifically things that make me money, right? So HBO and DBO have never made money, and yet they're useful to me.
Right, because you've been able to practice your craft on
them. Absolutely, right? and make friends on them, and sort of enrich my life on them. So they get a, in those times when I'm having trouble focusing, they get a specific chunk of my day. But I try not to go over that, right? So that's, for me, it's basically a matter of acknowledging that I'm having a problem and setting explicit limits that I try to keep to.
All right. And isn't that kind of like G.I. Joe used to say, you know, just, I know knowledge, they used to say that knowledge is half the battle, but I think awareness is half
absolutely
the battle.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's cool. Really good at rationalizing.
Well, and that's the thing, is it's like, don't talk your, you know, you might be aware of it, but don't talk yourself into doing more of it.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yep.
But so speaking of again being your own boss, and you know, we're here at the end of 2016, what do you got going on for 2017?
I don't know, man. I'm scared for what's coming. This is a frightening time. You know, we're potentially changing who we are as a nation going forward. And that's, to me, that's a,
I know this is not a political podcast and I'm not going to really get into the politics of things, but no matter which side you're on, things are going to change drastically.
Changing. It's going to be different. Anybody that's friends of mine will see where I lie on the situation myself. So it's, yeah. About that.
So, but in terms of sort of the plans that I have, I'm not making long-term plans at this point. I'm going on as I go on, and as clients ask for things, I'll build them, and we'll see where it goes.
Cool. Well, someday I want you to write the history of HBO. History of you would be actually the coolest person to write the history of Halo. I would think that would be cool.
There's actually somebody working on that right now. It's not me, but there is somebody looking at, well, I don't know if it's just Halo or if it's all of Bungie, but there's
well, yeah, I'm sorry, Bungie. Now. Right.
So
yeah.
See how that goes.
Rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Sorry. Go for it.
All right. What are your top three favorite books or movies you tell others about?
Oh, goodness gracious. Any book by Alistair Reynolds. He's a fantastic science fiction writer. Anything by Joseph Lallo. He's a great science fiction writer, and fantasy writer that you've never heard of. And let's see, recent movies. Arrival was quite.
Arrival. That was the one with the big egg.
With big eight, with right. The big spaceships. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not even going to go into the Star Wars movie, but it was pretty good. I liked the Rogue One.
I enjoyed Rogue One. I don't think it was it's not going to be one I go back to watch a dozen times, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah, it was probably the best if people like action sequences, especially the battle. That was probably the best battle I've seen, on big screen for a while.
Fantastic special effects. Do not watch Rogue One and then follow it up with Episode 4 directly, because you will be very disappointed by the effects in Episode 4.
What? give yourself, especially if you're going to be showing someone the series in the future, give them a week or so to kind of forget.
If you're trying to watch in chronological order, just put a break in there.
What's the smallest decision you've made that has had the largest impact on your life?
Moving to Seattle.
Hmm. Why is that?
It's totally changed the focus of our family. I went from living in the woods to living in a city, and my kids went from growing up in the woods to spreading out from here. So it seemed like it was a planned decision for a long time, so it didn't seem like a huge life shift, but it's turned out to be one.
Wow. That can be kind of interpreted kind of deep there, man. that's wow. Okay. What are three truths you've learned over time that you'd want others to know?
Oh my goodness. These are not rapid fire questions. These are drink of 3 a.m.
No, the rapid fires are from me. I don't care how long the questions or the answers take.
Goodness gracious. Three truths.
Mm-hmm.
Be as good to people as you can. Honesty is almost always, but not always, the best policy. Don't overthink every decision you make.
Yeah. That one right there. Yeah, that one's a big one.
Yeah. Sometimes,
not second guessed and triple guessed.
Sometimes
and,
our gut knows. And sometimes it doesn't, right? But it's often easier to recover from a small mistake than it is to not get going on something that you should have gotten going on.
Yeah. Two things come to mind. One, the saying, what is it? Fire ready aim. or ready, fire, aim. Yeah. So ready, fire, aim, that comes to mind. And then the other thing is Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink, if you really want to see the power of going with your gut. When you think of the word, when you think of the word success, who comes to mind and why?
Steve Jobs, because almost everything he touched was turned to gold, and when he died, Apple started to lose its way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me being an Apple user for all these years, it's hard to see that they're not even supporting, you know, desktops.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things that's killing me.
Yeah, What's it mean to live a life of abundance?
Wow. To me, that's being surrounded by people who love you.
And you've been able to get that in HBO.
Yeah, that's certainly a piece of it. I would definitely say that's a non-trivial piece of it. Yep.
As we're closing out today, what are some pointers that you would give someone if they're just now starting on making some sort of epic community or making a product or, you know, just basically want to start a new project? What would be your advice to them?
So back in the day, Bungie had a slogan that really resonated with me. It was, "We build the games we want to play." To me, that's the most important piece of being successful. Do what you love. Find what's important to you. Do it. Get better at it. People will find you.
Awesome. And if anybody needs any help building the back end of their website or just wants to connect with you online, is how do they go about doing that?
Probably the easiest way is arera@gmail.com. I have a Facebook page that I limit to people that I know. So that's
and then there's always the Bungie.org.
There are always the Bungie.orgs. I'm always there, and we're always open to new people.
All right, cool. Well, Claude, thanks again for being on the show today, man. It was definitely a pleasure to get a longtime favorite creative of mine on.
JC, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
And there you guys have it. A big thank you to Claude for joining me on today's show. And one thing I've always known about him is that he's a real genuine guy and really just has a passion for serving the community. You know, glad to hear he's carrying that passion on and serving others over at destiny.bungie.org. And if you're into that game, go check it out. Don't forget that if you need an awesome website backend that he can help you out there too. He can help you with hosting, domain registration, emails, you know, that sort of thing. But I'm sure there's much more to it. And I'll have links to where to find him via the show notes at newinceptions.com/72. Show note extras for this session include some videos that I think will give you guys an idea of what Claude has meant to Bungie over the years. And the first one actually is of him receiving his namesake award for doing what he does. And then I have a couple of videos relating to his adventures in the community, followed by a bonus video that fans of Bungie and the game Destiny will not only appreciate, but probably understand a little bit more than most of the audience of this show. So yeah, check those out if you're curious to know more about Claude and his involvement in the Bungie community, or if you're an old gamer like me, you can just watch them for a stroll down memory lane. But anyhow, that's pretty much it for this session, gang. I appreciate you guys listening in today. And remember, you can get in touch with us at any time by shooting us an email at heyguys@newinceptions.com. And feel free to write us a review on iTunes or wherever you hear the show. Next up in session 73, I have an interview with Jonathan Borsma, also known as Long John Sparrow. And when John's not doing impressions of Captain Jack Sparrow of the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, you can find him involved in a number of other businesses, which include website design, fitness coaching, and helping artists with their businesses. Layla and I speak with him about all of the above, as well as touching base on understanding personalities and how that plays a role in the work that he does. So again, that's all there is to session 72. Thanks again for joining Claude and me. And until next time, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're doing. And we'll see you back here next week.
Listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.